Today's Shir Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the top. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had spoken quite extensively about a situation where somebody was mazik, matnas kuna, and there was a discussion that the Gemara had, are you chayiv if somebody's mazik matnas kuna? And the opinion of Rav Chisda was that you will not be responsible for doing so, again, provided that it wasn't yet given to the Kohen. Once it was given to the Kohen, then, as the Gemara said, it's considered full-fledged property of the Kohen, and you will be held responsible. But if it wasn't yet given to the Kohen, you would not be held responsible. So the Gemara begins, Toshma. The Brisa says, Aresha, Unso Beis HaMelech Gronai. If the government took away your grain, before you took away all your grain, and as we've been learning, when you have grain, you're obligated to take off Trumas and Maisris. And here, the Trumas and Maisris were not taken. And the question that obviously comes up, will you be held responsible for those Trumas and Maisris? So says the Braisa, if it was taken because you owe taxes, for example, and it was taken away for your tax debt, so then you used your produce to pay off your debt, that would you still have to take off Maisa that you owe to the Kohen, the Trumas and Maisers. However, Empires, if they just confiscated it without any legitimate reason, then the halacha is potel Maisa, it's something that was stolen from you, and therefore you won't be chayiv to pay for it. So we see from here that if it was taken away from you, because you owed money to the government, you have to pay for it. Now, if, as we learned in our previous shiur, there's a concept that is in play here of mamon she'en lo tovin, so here it's also mamon she'en lo tovin. So why would you have to pay for it? Why, according to Rav Chisda, who subscribes to that concept, would you be obligated to pay? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hassam. In the case where the money, where this produce was taken away from you because you owe, then the halacha is that it's because the kamishtar shalei, because you're profiting, because instead of paying from your own money, you're not paying trumas and maisris, and wherever there's a concept of mishtar shalei where you're benefiting, so of course the halacha says we're not allowed to benefit, and Rav Chisda will agree that if the Yisrael is profiting from the Tevel, then he's obligated to pay. He's only not obligated to pay, as we've been learning in our previous year primarily, is because he didn't profit from the Matnas Kuhuna. But here he profited. Says, ask Tosfos, when somebody eats the Matnas Kuhuna that he should have given to the Kohen, he's also profiting because he ate the Matnas Kuhuna instead of giving it to the Kohen. And therefore, he's profiting. So why is that also not included in the concept of Mishtar Shalei? So Tosfos answers that eating Matnas Kuhuna is not considered a case of Mishtar Shalei because there is no definite monetary profit. Because the person could have chosen not to eat on the day that he ate those Matnas Kuhuna. And if therefore it's not considered that he profited from the Matnas Kuhuna. The Tshuvas Masa Avram says that if somebody ate the Matnas Kuhuna, somebody who's sick, and he's not a person who would be able to fast, then he would be obligated, taking Tosfos Svara, to pay. Because he's not a person that could say, well, I didn't really profit because I didn't really have to eat. You're a person that has no choice. You had to eat. And therefore, you profited, and using our Gemara of Mishtar Shalei, you will be obligated to pay. And in fact, he continues to say that if somebody took the Matnas Kuhuna, the Yisrael who took the Matnas Kuhuna, ate from them on Shabbos on Yontif, where there is no option to fast, we have to eat on Shabbos or Yontif. So the Svara that Tosfos just suggested, well, he could say, I didn't have to eat today. Of course you had to eat today, and then it would be Mishtar Shalei. So the Trumas Hadeshen has a very interesting discussion. He speaks about a case that Reuven invited Shimon for a meal, And he didn't in any way indicate that this meal that he's inviting him to is, he's inviting him as a gift. And then he ate, Shimon ate by him. And after Shimon ate, he charges, can he charge Shimon for the meal that he ate? And he wants to suggest that Shimon could maybe be compelled to pay. And this, because he says that he would have had to eat. So therefore, I have a right to take payment from the fact that he ate from my food. It's Zenena. He's benefiting from my food, the Zechasser, because I'm paying for this food. The Marit, however, says, now that we learn Tois Svarob, the Tois says that if I could have fasted, so why is it considered that I profited for the meal? Why can't we say that Shimon can make an argument that I would have fasted, and if I would have fasted, I wouldn't have to eat, and then you didn't give me something that I really needed to have? Answers the Tzois that even if Shimon could have fasted that day, still he ate, and still for considered of Hanor. And the Truma Sedeshin says the Tzois is of the opinion that Zeh Nenev Zeh Chaser, if I benefited, even though it wasn't necessarily a financial benefit, because if I wouldn't have eaten, it wouldn't have cost me anything, but the reality is I benefited, and that's why I have a claim. However, says the Tzois, if Yisrael eats Matnas Kuhuna, then he can't be charged for Hana, because just like someone who destroys Matnas Kuhuna can't be held responsible for the damage, as we've been learning, it's considered mummin shein leitamin. Payment for Matnas Kuhuna can be extracted from a Yisrael only if financially profited from the Matnas Kuhuna. But because then he had actually Matnas Kuhuna in his possession that he used. Otherwise, it's not considered a case of mishtarshe, and therefore, says the Tzois, we could understand that the person who ate the meal will be perhaps obligated to pay, but not the person, but so would not necessarily be the person that owes, that did damage to the Matnas Kuhuna, as Tosfos said. But that is a very interesting question that comes up in general. Our Gemara just indicated that if somebody used Matnas Kuhuna to pay, if somebody used the Matnas Kuhuna to pay his taxes, that's called Mishtar Shalei. The question is, what somebody who gives matnas, somebody gives pays taxes. The question is, how are taxes looked at? That means somebody earns a certain amount of money a year, and he gives maisa from that money. The halacha that we need to discuss is that should he, let's say, earns $100,000 and he gives 10%. For taxes. So now the question is, that is it as if he earned $100,000 that year, or is it considered like he earned $90,000 a year? So the Paiskim discuss this question. Everybody is in agreement that you can't pay taxes with Maisik Sofer money. But what about, is it deducted from how much he earned? So Rav Moshe distinguishes between taxes that are taken off your profit versus salary. He says money that's taxes that are taken off your profit means you didn't make that profit. You made whatever you made minus the taxes. However, a salary is salary, and you have to take taxes, and you have to take Maisik Sofim pre-tax money. Then those that disagree with Rav Moshe, the Michas Yitzchak, is of the opinion that you take it off after tax money. Most Paiskim suggest that since the entire chiv of Maisik Sofim, Bezman HaZeh, is only a minig or midrabanan, when one undertakes, which is the most appropriate thing to do, when one undertakes that he's going to give Maisik Sofim from his earnings, what he ought to do is, he ought to originally designate and say that I'm only giving Maisa Ksofim from, if he doesn't want to give it from pre-tax money, he should say, I'm only giving it from after-tax money. And therefore, he never took upon himself a minig to do differently. Since he never took upon himself a minig to do differently, so then there's no question that he will not be held, there's no question that he won't be held responsible for that maisa money. The question that I saw is a similar question that Chashuk Echem discusses. He discusses where somebody took a loan and he owes that money, and then the person to he owes the money to was Michael him on the loan. He's obligated, so I took a loan again of $100,000, and now the person who I took the loan from forgave that loan. Will I have to now give 10% my sixofim from that money? He says that he suggests that the obligation of giving my sixofim is from money that I actually earned. This is not money that I actually earned directly. It's money that was forgiven, and that's why I profited. And he suggests that the chiv of giving miser only applies by money that you actively earn. Money that you did not actively earn, there is no chiv of miser ksofim. Of course, somebody could and perhaps should give miser ksofim for that money, but he says technically it's not money that you're obligated to give miser ksofim from. Toshma. Again, the Gemara asks a question on the opinion of Rav Chisda. Amalai, if somebody said to a butcher, M'chali b'nei me'aya shapara, sell me the intestines, the stomach of this, the entire intestines of this animal, v'hai b'metnas kuhuna, and in the stomach is the keva, and as we've learned, there's the keva is the matnas kuhuna that you have to give to the kohen, nice on the kohen, you give it, that has to be given to the kohen, and we don't deduct the value from the keva from what the buyer and seller agreed on. However, if it was sold by weight, and so the keva, again, as we just said, should be given to the kohen, so I'm paying per pound, the pound that I'm not keeping that's going to the kohen, I don't have to pay for. Why is the halacha that he does this? Lehavi kamazik matnas kuna shachlan. He should not be obligated because it should be considered that he damaged the matnas kuna. Why does the butcher have to return the money? He destroyed something that we're not responsible. Says the Marshani Hosam Destin Benayu. Where is the halacha that you don't have to pay? Is when they're not here anymore. So I don't have to make up that loss. Here, they're here. And the butcher has them. That's not what we've been discussing. Says the Gemara Toshma, another raya. Tisha Nechse Koyin. There are 9 types of assets that the halacha considers belong to the Koyin. They are Truma, Trumas Maisa, which we said, we give to the Levi the Maisa Rishon. And after we give the Levi Maisa Rishon, we take 10% off that Trumas Maisa, he gives it to the Kohen. Challah, that we take off the dough. Reishis Agaz, we mentioned that. We will learn the Locha when we cut the wool. Matonis, the Zroel Chaim V'Keva, the subject of our Perek. Hadamai. Damai is where Chazal made a rule that since they were concerned that the Amoratsim don't take off Truma Meiser properly, we have to give it to the, we have to give a separate. And as we learned and we're going to learn, this halacha only applies for Trumas Meiser. Because Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani, the Levi is coming to get, or the Ani, the Levi is coming to get, or the Ani is coming to get, and I could say that who says there wasn't given? It's Hamoitzi Mechavera Olavaraya. Until you could prove that it wasn't given, I don't have an obligation to give it to you. But Trumas Meiser is treated like mice, like Truma. Since Trumas Meiser is treated like Truma, it's very different. There, Halacha wants that it should be treated like Truma. I can't just say Hamoitzi Mechavera Olavaraya. And therefore, the amount of Trumas Meiser that is here has to be given to a kohen. Bikurim, bekeren v'chaimish, and the same halacha would be the keren chaimish, a different situation, are given. Says the Gemara Lamai, what does that mean that we give? That's considered mamon kohen. Lav letzir b'dayanim, that you have a right to go to Besdin to collect it. So we see here that it is not. It's not the halacha is not that if you mazik it, you potter. Says well, loy, that's not what the brayso means. Look at the Tanan. It's here to teach us a different thing. Lomra lama omru nixi koin. In regarding what are they considered? Says the brayso nixi koin. Shekoin abehem that you have a right to buy with them avodim slaves or kakos the behemah tameya. Even though all the things we just mentioned are not food, something you can't eat, the halacha is telling us that you could only, that you're not obligated to buy only things that are edible. Moreover, so if the kohen owes money, he's entitled to that money. If somebody owes their wife ksuba, she's entitled to collect from this value, and you could buy from it a sefer Torah. You could buy from it from a sefer Torah. That means the Bryce is teaching us a number of halachas. One is that the kohen could sell all these different things, eat and buy with them these things that are not used for food. Moreover, that would be permissible. However, the Meiri points out that the Bikurim and Betruma still have the status of Kedusha, Bikurim, Betruma, even if you sold them. And whoever buys them has to treat them that way. And for example, Truma could only be eaten by a Kohen. Rashi explains what is the Chiddush you could buy a Sefer Torah, because it can't be used for food at all. And the answer, but so the question Rashi asks, well, you can't eat Avodim, Kakos, and Behemah Tameya either. So he says, the Rishonim respond, all these other items, behemah, avodim, kakos, behemah, tameya, are things I could sell and use to buy food. But the halacha is that you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. And therefore, perhaps the halacha of a Sefer Torah is different. Teaches us the Braisa not that way. The Miri says the Chiddush of a Sefer Torah is that a Sefer Torah is not really something that is something inherently of something that we buy and sell. And still the halacha is that you can buy with it a sefer Torah. Of course, the halacha will still be that the sefer Torah that's bought with it has the kedusha, will retain the kedusha of a sefer Torah. So the Gemara, Hulavoy, there was a Levi that avachot betanasa. He would take zroi l'chaim v'keva from children who were carrying them to a kohen. And says the Gemara, also Amalei l'Rav, and they reported what was happening to Rav. Isn't it enough that if a Levi slaughters an animal, we don't extract the zroi l'chaim v'keva from him, we let him keep it. El mechtef namichotef, he says, he takes away from others. How could that be acceptable? And Rashi explains that he took it from children, but if he took it from an adult, then the halacha would be that it would be gezeila. Why is that considered gezeila? So the way the Rishonim explain, because when you took it from an adult, the adult who's taking this to the kohen is acting as a shliach for the kohen. And since he's acting as a shliach for the kohen, it became the kohen's. Once it came the kohen, of course, if you take it away from them, that's considered a full-fledged act of gezeila. Here, it was the children who don't have that halachic ability to take ownership in it for the kohanim, and therefore, the issue of gezeila isn't here. So the Gemara says, Rav made the statement, So this opens up the discussion, are Levim chayiv matnas kuna or not? Says the Gemara Rav. What was his opinion? The pasuk says, "V'zei mishvad akarim eso amay zoyv cheazavach im sharem seven nos lokayr azroyel chayiv v'keva." Says the Gemara, if the Levim are considered am, if they're considered like the rest of Klai Yisrael, the Mishkan Nami Lishkan Menai, the Nalocha should be that we have to that we should be allowed to take Matnas Kuna from them. V'loy am, if they're not considered like the am, then the Nalocha is that Rachmana Petrinu, then they're not Chayv and Trumas and Maisris. And if they're not Chayv and Trumas and Maisris, they're not Chayv and Matnas Kuna. So what is Rav saying? There's a Machloikas Achroinim, how to understand what the Gemara means. Does the Gemara mean to say that if they're not Am, so they're not obligated to give Zroel Chayim V'keva, but everybody would agree that they're not entitled to get Zroel Chayim V'keva, or the way to learn the Gemara is Mamon of Shoch. If they're considered like Am, so they're not entitled to get and they're obligated to give. And if they're not considered like Am, then... And if they are not considered like Am, then they should be allowed to. They should not be obligated to give, and they should not be. And they should be entitled to get. Says the Gemara. Rav actually had a question. Besapkali, Rav was not quite certain. What should they be considered? Should they be considered Am or not? And therefore, his opinion was that we don't make them give because of the rule that we said a few minutes ago. Hamotzi mechaveroi. All of Haraya, and therefore, because I might say Haraya, there's no. So, if I'm not, you can't say that I'm definitely obligated to give, and therefore, since I'm not definitely obligated to give, so you can't extract me, but I'm not entitled to take. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rapapa Kamala Shmatzah Rav, Rapapa was sitting and discussing this halacha. Esvei Ravi Di Barav Milar Papa, this very issue. How does the halacha look at Leviim? Says the Gemara, Esvei Ravi Di Barav Milar Papa, Abba Matanis Aniim Shebekerim. There are four types of Matanis Aniim in a vineyard. There's the perid, there's small leftover grapes that are left in the that are left on the trees. Oilless are small grapes. Shikva Peya, if somebody as they were collecting the fruit. Forgot, or pay it, we have to take off the corner of every, leave over the corner of a tree of a field. The shol shebetfua, then we have three matnas aniyim by grain, lecha shikha and pay up, that while you're collecting, if two bundles fall down, you have to leave them. And shikha and pay, we just discussed, shnayim shebeilin and shikha vapeya. Kulam ein behem tovus and ola balam. The owner do not have a right to choose which ani should be entitled to them. The Mechas Chinuch explains that the halacha is that you have to leave it. It doesn't mean, says the Mechas Chinuch, that if there was an ani that was first in the field, he has the right to claim that I am entitled to this matnas aniyim and take the other aniyim who might have taken him to the Torah. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Vafila Anish Bisrael, even the most poor person, Matzina and Yodai, he has to give Matas Aniyim for whatever he has. Mas Aniyah and Mishal B'toch Beisoi, the Mas Ani that's given out in somebody's home, Yesh B'tovitz Anol Dalim. Here we're not talking about Matas Aniyim that is left in the field, rather, it's Matas Aniyim that is the person is distributing matnas aniyim in his home, and in that case, the halacha is he has a right to decide. And again, the owner has a right to decide whom to give it here. And again, the halacha is that filo anish b'Yisrael, the poorest person still has to give its tzedakah. The halacha is, says Tosfos, that where the halacha says that there's toivus aniyim, toivus anol abalim, where the halacha says that the owner has a right to choose whom to give it to, if the ani came and grabbed it, the halacha is that I have a right to retrieve it from the ani. You had no right to take it. I, the owner, have the right to decide who should give it. Something where there's no toivus anol, then the halacha is that if the ani grabbed it, then the halacha is that I don't have a right that if the ani grabbed it to be able to take it back. V'sham matnas kuna continues the brisa. When we speak about matnas kuna, kugad azroy l'chaim v'akeva, aim at sin le'mikoyin l'koyin. We don't force a koyin to give it for levi, nor do we force nor do we force a Levi to give it. So I saw the Prima Gadim has a question. What's going to be the halacha by a Kohen who's a Cholol? If is a Kohen who's a Cholol, who's obviously disqualified from the Avoida, is he? How do we look at him as far as Matas Kuna? That the halacha is that, so there's three options. One option is that he is treated like a Kohen, because he is a Kohen. Another option is that he's treated like a Levi. And another option is he's treated like a Yisrael, because he's completely disqualified. And it seems that the Mishnah Lamelech and others paskin quite clearly that the Ani, that the Kohen who's Cholol is completely treated like a Yisrael. So it goes back to Gemara to the Braisa. The Braisa says, Abba Matana Shebekerem, Haperet Aloyos Vashikva Peya. Says the Gemara, where do we find these halakhah? The Ksiv. The Pasuk says, V'karam Mechalois Oilu, or Peret Kam Mechalois Alakeit. The Ksiv, and the Pasuk says, Gisif So Karmacha, Lois Oilu Achrecha. V'am Rav Levi, Achrecha is coming to teach us the Din of Shikha. Peya, how do we know that there's Peya in a vineyard? Says the Gemara, Achrecha, Achrecha Mizayis. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Kisachbud, Seisecha Lois Sofar Achrecha, V'tayin de Rav Shmol, Loisafar means loititol tefaratim imenu. Don't take off all of the beauty. And part of the beauty is that we leave peya, not removing everything. Sholosh betfur. The Mishnah said that the betfur we have three types of matas aniyim. Halecha shichva peya. The ksiv, because the pasuk says bekutzuchem etzir atzuchem. Loisachal pasotch bekutzurecha. V'leket ketzircha loitzalakeid. Loni lagei tazim v'oisam. This is the halacha of peya, and we learn from here. Kisikzer says the Gemara, "Ktzirch besada v'shichachta amir besada." So here we learn the halacha of shicha. Shnayim shabilon. We said that there were two by a tree. Hashicha v'peya. The ksiv kisach betzaisach loisufar achrecha. V'tarnid brev yishmo. Again, loititol tfar to memenu. Don't take off all of the beauty. Leave something over. The Torah says, when the Torah speaks about these halacha by Elon, the Torah speaks about a vineyard only by grapes and by aleph. And I saw Chaim Kievsky quotes Rishonim that say the midaraisa, this din that we just learned of shicha pei by a tree, is only midaraisa by grapes and olives. By all other trees, it's only midrabbanan. Kulon. Furthermore, the Braisa said, all these different matonis, lechet, shicha, peya, parrot, and oilus, embam tanas, labalim. The owner does not have a right to choose which oni should receive it. Ask them, my tama, where do we learn this halacha from? Says the Gemara, aziva. The Torah uses the word aziva. It means just leave it, and the oni could take it. Vafilash oni b'Yisrael, the Braisa continued, even if you have a person who is entitled to get matas aniyim, the halacha is, if he has a vineyard, etc., but he's obligated to give these matas aniyim. Why? The ksiv, the pasuk says, v'leka ketzich alay salakeit, loni lager tazer oysam, and from here we learn, lahazar oni ashaloi, that the oni is obligated to also give these matas aniyim. U'maisa oni ha-mischal v'toch ha-bayis, but we learned that Maisa Oni, that one is giving out in the one that's giving out to his in his house. Their halacha is Miyesh Leitavis Anol Abalim. Then the halacha is that you could give matnas and you take it from the ksiv. Like that he has Tavis Anol. The ksiv. The pos the my tama nesina ksibay. Since the Torah uses the word nesina means that I have a right to give and choose whom I want to. Moreover, v'afil ani shevisro metzina isabiyodai, we force the ani to give ma'isa ani. Dom rabbeloi gomer leger gemichasam. We learn from the din of leket malahal muzo ani ashloi. Just like the ani is obligated to give leket, afkan muzo ani ashloi, he has to give this. The Shabbat is kunus at the brisa. Kigon Azroel lechayim v'keva. Ein mitzina shalom mekayim v'leim melevi melevi. So the brisa doesn't use the simple way of saying it. Ein mitzina shalom mekayim v'leim melevi. That means that from a kohen to a kohen, from one kohen to another kohen, and from one levi to another levi, we don't demand giving it. It seems melevi l'kohen, but a levi would have to give the zroil chayim v'keva to a kohen. Obviously, going back to the question that we mentioned before, that's a proof that they're considered like am. They're considered like the rest of Klal Yisrael, and they're obligated to give Zroya L'chaim V'keiva. So the Gemara, what it's speaking about here is not the actual Zroya L'chaim V'keiva, not the Zroya L'chaim V'keiva, because that we're not sure, as we're learning, what we're talking about. Here, what are we talking about? My Sarishin. That the Aloch is that, what we're learning from here is that the Levi has to give the Maiserishin to the Kohen. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Maiserishin, the Levi who? As we've been saying, the halacha is that the Levi keeps the Maiserishin. Answers the Gemara, we're following now the opinion of Lozman and Azariah. The Tanya teaches us the Braisa, the Rav Lozman and Azariah taught us Truma L'Kohen, the Truma goes to the Kohen, or Maisersheni goes to the Levi, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azari's opinion is that it goes to the Kohen, and not just to the Levi. Even though the Torah says, Rashi says that it goes to the Levi, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azari's opinion is that the Levi, the Kohanim are also considered Levi. Ask the Gemara, but let's understand what we just said. Amad Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? That it could be given also to the Kohen. Amad af l'Kohen. But l'Kohen v'lo l'Levi mi'omar. Did he say that it shouldn't be given to the Levium? He says you could give it to both. So how do we understand this Gemara? Answers the Gemara, the way to understand what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is, l'bosa de katsino Ezra. At the time of Ezra, when Klal Yisrael came back from Golus Bavel, the Levium did not go back to Yisrael. They remained in Golus. As the Pasuk says in Ezra, Vavinu ba'amu b'kahanim, or b'nei Levi le'metzasi sham. And because of that, Ezra made a rule they shouldn't get Maiserishin. So the way to understand the Gemara is, as Tosfos explains, according to Rabbi Kiva, originally only Levium were entitled to Maiserishin. When Ezra now find them, he said that not only would the Levium be entitled, but Kahanim will be entitled as well. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, however, originally, always, both Kahanim and Levium were entitled. And when Ezra find them, he find them that now only Kahanim will be entitled, and that's pshat, that it has to be given to the Kahanim. So ask the Gemara, even according to what we just said, and even according to the way we understand what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that the Ezra did, Amad the Kinsinu Ezra, what did Ezra do? The Lo Yavinalu, that it's not given to the Levium. However, Mishkol Minayimi Omer, do we ever suggest that they should be taken, that it should be taken away from them, that they now have to give to the Levium? Says the Gemara, so we're back to where we're starting. What's if we're saying that the Zroya L'chaim V'keva, we're not sure if Levium give. But this Brisa said that they are, that the Levium do have to give it. So we wanted to suggest it means Maiserishin. But now we've shown that that can't be what the Brisa means. So what does it mean? Says the Gemara, Zroya V'lo Zroya, or Mayniu Reishis Agaz. As we've discussed, somebody takes off the wool, has to give reishis agaz to the kohen, and here the Torah demands that it be given to the kohen, and that's what the brisa means, that the Levium should give it. The question is that Ezra made this rule that they should not be entitled to, the Levium should not get the Maiserishin. The question is, I saw the Ritvaz discusses this question, that he can make a rule that affected that generation, as we said, because they did the wrong thing, that they didn't come up to Tzrol. But why should future generations be punished for that? So the Ritvas says that, indeed, that what Ezra did was up here, Deber, that he got a nevuah that this is what he should be doing. Another pshat that he says, that it's not that what Ezra said is that only Kahanim should go collect Ma'aser Rishon, not Leviim. And in fact, the Meiri suggests that if it'll come in future generation, that a Levi will take the Ma'aser Rishon, based on the Svara that the Ritvas just suggested, maybe he would be allowed to keep it. But then, the Miches Chinuch asks a question. We've quoted the Taz many times. The Taz says that something that the Torah says specifically, Chazal have no right to say is mutter, Chazal have no right to say it's usur. That's why we've quoted in our Shiurim. The Torah Kedosha says, B'yoyim HaShmini Yimel B'sar HaLosoi, that we make a bris even on Shabbos, and therefore there's no right to make a rule that a bris that's supposed to be done on Shabbos should not be done on Shabbos. So ask the Miches Chinuch that if we see that the Torah specifically said that the Ma'aser Rishon belongs to the Leviim, how can Ezra undo that? Says the Miches Chinuch that the Rambam points out from this that since at the time of Ezra and future generations, the chiv of Trumas and Maestris is only the Rabbanon. So since it's only the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon make the rules who is entitled and who is not entitled. That's the way the Miches Chinuch explains. But perhaps according to what we just learned from the Ratfaz, that what Ezra did was a piyah dibur, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, what Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, but it's not something that he did on his own, so therefore it's most understandable what he did and why there is no problem with what he did. It says the Maratoshma. Zeklal, the Bryce says, called of Shubha Kedusha, that anything that is also to Zorim, Kigon Truma Trumas Mais Vichala Metzinois Beyodom, we take from the Leviim. The Kol Dovish Eina B'Kedusha, something that doesn't have that level of Kedusha, Kigon Zrayav L'Chaim Kevim, Eim Metzim Miliyodom. So we see from here that the Leviim are not obligated to give Zrayav L'Chaim Kevim, they're not considered Am. Answers the Gemara, again, what it said Zrayav L'Chaim Kevim is Kigon Zrayav L'Chaim Kevim, my Ninu. What is it referring to? My Sarishin will boss the Kinsinu Ezra. After Ezra made that the Leviim should not get my Sarishin, that the rule was that they're not entitled to take, but they're not entitled to take, but they don't have to give. Toshma, again, this subject about Leviim and the Zroel Lechaim Vekeva. The Mishnah we're going to learn Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. Hashach l'koyin l'avikachovim. If somebody shechs an animal on behalf of a koyin or behalf of a avikachovim potem and avtanos, that you don't have to give matanos. Ha l'levi Yisrael chayiv. Isn't that an indication that if you're shechting for levi, there is a chayiv Yisrael chayiv keva? Says the Gemara loy tema. Don't learn the Brisa that way, says the Gemara. Halevi Yisrael Chayiv, Aleima Hal Yisrael Chayiv. Don't mean that the Levim are obligated Yisrael Potter. Aval Levi Mai. But what would be the halacha if you shecht for Levi? Not the Brisa considering that you're Potter. Yachi, if that's the halacha, so then the Mishnah should have said, Hashach Levi, Levi Kacham Potter Menem Matanis. What does it not say Levi? Void. And ask the Gemara another question. Tanya Shech L'Koyin Lev K'chom Potem Menametanus. And here it says explicitly, L'Levi L'Yisrael Chayiv. That the Levi and Yisrael are Chayiv and Zroel Chayiv Keva. Isn't this clearly to Yufta the Rav a refutation of the opinion of Rav? Amlech Rav, to which Rav tells us Tanoihi. It's actually Machlokes Tanoim, the Tanan. The Pasuk says, by the avoid of Yom Kippur. V'chippur is mikdash ha-kodesh, v'as oil moed, v'as mizbeich y'chapur, v'al kahanim, v'al kol ha-am y'chapur. The Pasuk is teaching us that on Yom Kippur, we bring different kabbanas, the parachatas and the serachatas. But normally when we bring a karmachatas, we know that the blood of the karmachatas is put on the mizbeach achitzin. This blood of these kabbanas are put between the badei aron, between the poles of the aron, the kodesh kedoshim. We sprinkle blood on the proichus, on the curtain separating the kodesh kedoshim, and on the four corners of the mizbeach hazov. And the Gemara Masechta Shavuos explains very extensively that these kabbanas are brought because of Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshav. Somebody entered the base of Migdash when he was Tamei, or ate Kodesh when he was Tamei. And the Gemara goes on. That is the blood that we said that's put in the Kodesh Kedoshim by Badei Aron. That's the blood that's put on the Proichus. Mizbeach Kemashmo. Yechaper is some of the blood is put if somebody did Tumma in the Kodesh Kedoshim. If somebody was Tamei in the Kodesh, Mizbeach is somebody who did avoid on the Mizbeach when he's Tamei. Chaper El Azar, he entered the Azar when he's Tamei. Kahanim Kamashmai is Mechaper for Kahanim that were in that category. Amakal El Yisrael, Chaper El Alevim. So we have an extra word, Chaper El Alevim, Vitanya Idach, and so does a Bryce that tells explicitly that Chaper, but now there's another Bryce that says El Avodim. So we have a Machloikis. What does the word Yechapa mean? Does it come to include the Levium, or does it come to include the Avodim? Suggest the Gemara. The Avodim are required to have this Kapara, because we know that Avodim are Mechuyiv and Mitzvahs like Noshim. And suggest the Gemara, Maila Behar Kabavki. The mass of the Levium are called Am. And therefore, they're included in Am Ha'akol. And therefore, the word yechaper is extra for avodim. Well, masav aloyikru am, and that's why we need a separate pasuk. But this is very much the issue that we've been discussing in our shiur today. How do we look at levim? Are they am or not? The Rav says the Gemara ik svile kaitana. Let's understand what does Rav hold. If he holds that the levim are considered am, so they're am. Visavile kaitana. If he's considered a not am, lema. Answers the Gemara Masafkalei. Rav actually had a question. Ika haitana kaitana. What is the status of Levia? And therefore, since he had a question, that's why he says they don't have to give, but they're not entitled to get. Says the Gemara Darish Merema Hilchas Kavasei the Rav that we're not sure how to treat Levia, and therefore we don't make them give Matnas Kuhuna, but they're not the Zroy L'chaim Keva, but they're not entitled to get them. And the halacha is also like Rav Chisda, what we've been discussing in our shurim, that if somebody is mazik, the matnas, the sava, somebody gives matnas kuhuna, if somebody is mazik, the royal chayim v'keva, then the halacha is that he will not be held responsible, as we discussed quite extensively. Our Gemara just taught us that the Kohen Gadol brought the karbanos that were brought in Yom Kippur include the avodim. And there's a very interesting vart that I saw from the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma suggests that we know the halacha is that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did the avodah only in Dal Begadim, with four begadim, not with the Shmoyne begadim. And there are many reasons given for that halacha. The Meshech Chochma suggests as follows. He says the reason the Kohen Gadol had Shmoyne Begadim, the reason the Kohen Gadol wore Shmoyne Begadim when he did the Avodah is because it corresponds to the 8 days that we wait until we do Bris Milah on a child. He says, but the halacha is, as we said, every Kanani is treated like a Jew in regards that he has to have a Bris Milah. But unlike Klal Yisrael that has the Bris Milah on the 8th day, they have their Bris Milah as soon as they are designated as Jews, as an Eved Kenani. So on Yom Kippur, we were learning that the Avodah was not only done for the he was done for the Avodim Kananim as well. And Avodim Kananim are not connected to the 8 days of Bris Milah. So that's why the halacha is that he only wears four begadim to show that we're also thinking about the Avodim who have the Bris after 4 days. There's a very interesting question. When we call up the Kahanim for Nesias Kapayim, we call them up Kahanim Am Kachecha. And the Beis Yosef quotes a minig based on what we learned in our shir so extensively, that the Kahanim are not considered an Am. And therefore, since they're not considered Am, we should not say Am Kachecha. However, many suggest they're not considered an Am, but they are considered Am Kachecha. And therefore, there are many different menhagim. Do we say Kahanim Am Kachecha? The Rama says that the word Kahanim should be said out loud, and the word Am Kachecha should be said quietly. Like the Mishnah Berurah says that there's some that have a minig that the Kohanim themselves say Am Kachecha, and he says that's a mistake. And then there are other that say that there are places, I sort of say for Rivers of Ephraim discusses this, that the people, the Yisrael, says that the Yisraelim should say Am Kachecha. But again, he suggests that that is not a proper minig. But one thing is for sure, says the Briskerov, that the Chazan, the Baal Tefillah, announcing Kohanim before Nesias Kapayim is absolutely essential. Because he says that the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim involves that the Kohanim are called up. And Kohanim being called up means that they're called up by us announcing Kohanim. The Am Kachecha is different menhagim. There is no room for different menhagim on the word Kohanim.